towards death. But, comes the answer, if circumstances warrant, shall he not take his departure? Of course, if he can no longer be of service to anyone, if all his business will be to deal with pain. This, my dear Lucilius, is what we mean by studying philosophy while applying it, by practicing it on truth. Note what courage a prudent man possesses against death, or against pain, when the one approaches and the other weighs heavily. What ought to be done must be learned from one who does it. Up to now, we have dealt with arguments, whether any man can resist pain, or whether the approach of death can cast down even great souls. Why discuss it further? Here is an immediate fact for us to tackle. Death does not make our friend braver to face pain, nor pain to face death. Rather, does he trust himself in the face of both. He does not suffer with resignation because he hopes for death, nor does he die gladly because he is tired of suffering. Pain he endures, death he awaits. Farewell. Letter 99. On Consolation to the Bereaved. I enclose a copy of the letter which I wrote to Marullus at the time when he had lost his little son, and was reported to be rather womanish in his grief. A letter in which I have not observed the usual form of condolence, for I did not believe that he should be handled gently, since, in my opinion, he deserved criticism rather than consolation. When a man is stricken and is finding it most difficult to endure a grievous wound, one must humor him for a while, let him satisfy his grief, or, at any rate, work off the first shock. But those who have assumed an indulgence in grief should be rebuked forthwith, and should learn that there are certain follies, even in tears. Is it solace that you look for? Let me give you a scolding instead. You are like a woman in the way you take your son's death. What would you do if you had lost an intimate friend? A son, a little child of unknown promise, is dead. A fragment of time has been lost. We hunt out excuses for grief. We would even utter unfair complaints about fortune, as if fortune would never give us just reason for complaining. But I had really thought that you possessed spirit enough to deal with concrete troubles, to say nothing of the shadowy troubles over which men make moan through force of habit. Had you lost a friend, which is the greatest blow of all, you would have had to endeavor rather to rejoice because you had possessed him than to mourn because you had lost him. But many men fail to count up how manifold their gains have been, how great their rejoicings. Grief like yours has this among other evils. It is not only useless, but thankless. Has it, then, all been for nothing that you have had such a friend? During so many years, amid such close associations, after such intimate communion of personal interests, has nothing been accomplished? Do you bury friendship along with a friend? And why lament having lost him, if it be of no avail to have possessed him? Believe me, a great part of those we have loved, though chance has removed their persons, still abides with us. The past is ours, and there is nothing more secure for us than that which has been. We are ungrateful for past gains because we hope for the future, as if the future, if so be that any future is ours, will not be quickly blended with the past. People set a narrow limit to their enjoyments if they take pleasure only in the present. Both the future and the past serve for our delight, the one with anticipation and the other with memories. But the one is contingent and may not come to pass, while the other must have been. What madness it is, therefore, to lose our grip on that which is the surest thing of all. Let us rest content with the pleasures we have quaffed in past days, if only, while we have quaffed them, the soul was not pierced like a sieve, only to lose again whatever it had received. There are countless cases of men who have without tears buried sons in the prime of manhood, men who have returned from the funeral pyre to the Senate chamber or to any other official duties, and have straightway busied themselves with something else. And rightly, for in the first place, it is idle to grieve if you get no help from grief. In the second place, it is unfair to complain about